Thank you, Dom. It's good to see you here this morning. I hope Community Church, a caring place where God transforms lives. And thanks for being here, because as Dom has already prayed, as we go down to be a part of what the Upper Moreland Booster Club is doing, thanks. And not only thanks, but isn't it great to get a free breakfast? Yes, it is. Right on. I thought I'd get some reaction there. But there will not be, just to let you know, there will not be any margarita pancakes. We're just doing pancakes and omelets. Yeah, I know, sorry, Kim, but that's how it's going to go today. Just two things briefly. One, as Dom had shared, just how people use their gifts and abilities. You know, if you noticed, our beverage table has been restored. So thank you, Dave, for doing that. Really appreciate you using your gifts. You can look at it over there. It's right there. It's all restored and covered, yes. So you'll have to take the cover off, but it is restored. Thank you very much. And also, I don't know if you knew this, but we have someone in our church who has published a book. And Mark Hubman, I already talked to him. I said, I'm not going to embarrass you. But he is going to have a book signing this Thursday from 6:30 to 8 o'clock at Main Star Cafe in Hatboro. And his book is called Dearest Isabella. So it's a fictional love novel, correct? Historical fictional. Man, see, he knows it better than I do. Well, he wrote it. But isn't it great how God just uses people to just share his glory? So you with me there? God's greatness. And he's using it through whether writing books or restoring tables. I just wanted to say that. So thank you guys for allowing God to use you in that way. So Scott is going to do for me a favor. If you'd like a Bible to follow along with, he has Bibles because we're going to go to God's Word today. And also he has some half-sheet outlines if you didn't get one, because they are in the bulletin, so that you can follow along that way as well. We are in our series again. We've started in April, Starting Point, where we've been looking at the book of Romans, and we have been in chapter 1. We're still in chapter 1 today, but what we did last week was we said that if we're going to be people who are not ashamed of the gospel, what happens is that we, when we share it, when we live God's story out, we become narrators of the greatest story forever told. And so today, I wanted to ask you this. How many of you have pet peeves? Go ahead. Yeah, we all do. And if you're not familiar with what a pet peeve is, it's when somebody or something happens and it just irritates you. Yes? Okay, I see some smiles there. Well, here's my pet peeve. I'm just going to be honest with you. It's when people talk or text during a movie. It drives me nuts. So my wife and I are at a movie recently, and there was some teenagers. There was six girls and one boy, and they're just chatting and chatting, and then there's light behind us. You know, so it was glowing from their phones, and I finally turned around and I said, listen, I paid $11.50 to watch the movie, not to hear you text and see your faces glow. I turned back around. My wife was mortified. I said, I'm sorry, Tina, but that just drives me nuts. And she was like, yeah, but you didn't have to do that. And I looked at her and I said, you're right, babe, but they're quiet now. So it was great. But we all have things that irritate us sometimes. We all have things that just drive us nuts. But sometimes there's things that get us so angry to the point it's like, man, if I could just, I don't know, punch him in the face or whatever it is. But we have that. And so today, that's what we want to look at, because we've titled our message today. And so you may have been thinking already, what is going on here? Who God hates? No, what God hates. And see, if you are a follower of Christ, what we need to understand, and even if you're not a follower of Christ, we need to understand this, is that God hates sin. That's what God hates. And what is sin? And now what I want to do is I want to give you a biblical perspective of what sin is. Sin is actions by which human beings rebel against God. They miss out on God's purposes for their life, and they surrender to the power of evil rather than God. So from a biblical perspective, that's what sin is. And that's what God hates. It angers God when the very people he created turn against him and reject him. And so in your outline, you see the next statement there is that God is serious about sin. God is serious about sin. And see, I know in my own life, I don't know about you, but there's times where I don't take sin, my sin, the things that I do to reject God seriously. And because God takes sin seriously, in Romans chapter 6, verse 23, I want to break it up in two parts. The first part of Romans 6, 23 says this, for the wages of sin is death. In other words, Sin is our master. Sin controls our life. And ultimately, sin separates us from God. And as a result, what happens is there's spiritual death. A pastor that I listened to once said, sin doesn't make you bad, sin makes you dead. And so with that, the eternal result is eternal separation from God. And just as much seriousness that God has towards sin, God is serious about his relationships with his creation. You see, the second half of that passage says, but the gift of God is eternal life in Jesus Christ, our Lord. What we need to understand is God loves the people in who he created. And God gave us what we didn't deserve. He extended his grace through his son, Jesus Christ, to give us eternal life. You see, that's why Jesus came, to die for the sins of humankind. We couldn't earn our salvation, as we've learned throughout our series here. It's not how good we can be. It's not how religious we can be. It's understanding how depraved we are without God. And see, we said last week, at just the right time. In other words, Christ died for the sins of humanity, and crucifixion was a form of execution in that day and time. But it's the significance of the crucifixion that makes the difference for you and I. You see, Jesus died for our sins, and if by faith we believe that he died for our sins, not only that, but if we believe that God raised him from the dead, and we proclaim as Lord, the Bible says we will be saved for eternal celebration with God. We are saved from eternal separation into eternal celebration. And last week, what we looked at was, is that we ended with verse 17, and it says the righteous will live by faith. In other words, what it said in verse 17 was that the righteousness of God is revealed. In other words, God's holiness, God's goodness, God's completeness was being shown to humanity through his son, Jesus Christ. And that's how we ended last week. And we ended by saying, listen, if we're not going to be ashamed, let's live out the gospel until the story is over. But now what Paul is doing in the rest of chapter 1 and into chapter 2 and into chapter 3, he's setting the stage for us so that we can begin to understand that all of us have sinned and we fall extremely short of the standard that God has set for his creation. Now, with that, what he does is in these verses today that we're going to take a look at, he's speaking of the Gentile people. And after Mother's Day, we're going to get into the sins of the Jewish people. And then in chapter 3, we're going to get into how all have sinned. So now Paul is beginning to set the stage for us. Now what I want to do this morning is I want to, because there's so many verses here, I want to begin with giving us an overview of 18 through 32. And then what I want to do then is to talk about a topic that is in here in our passage of Scripture today. It is a topic that is in our culture, in our society, and questions that people may have or talk about when it comes to homosexuality. And what we're going to do today in the message is I want to share with you where the leadership of Hope Community Church stands on this. And then from there, we're going to take a look at two of the verses, and what verses 24 and 25. And then what we want to do is we want to draw out application and how we can live our lives in a world where God's message is being drowned out. Okay, so that's what we're going to do. And when the message is done, we're going to take a time to collect benevolence. That's where we give our monies to help those who are in need. And then we're going to conclude our service with just worshiping God for how great he is. So that's what we want to do today. Now, in the verses here in 18 through 23, what we see is that it says the wrath of God is being revealed. What Paul is telling us is that God is angry at sin. And he's also angry at the fact that people are continuing to choose to be wicked. Not only that, the people chose not to worship the real God, the one true God, creator of heaven and earth. And what they began to do is that they chose to have visible idols, things that were visible to them, things that were tangible to them. And not only that, they began to have idols in their hearts. And with that, they refused to respect God in their behavior and in their worship. You see, one theologian said in some commentary, he said, once humankind begins to reject God, then what follows is immoral behavior and a depraved mind. And we'll get to what that looks like in just a moment. And then in verses 24 and 25, as he goes on, it says, therefore God gave them over to the sinful desires of their heart, and he began to speak about the acts that they were doing. In verses from 24 and 25, he speaks of that, but he also speaks of, and they worshiped the created things rather than the Creator who is forever praised. And then in verses 26, 27, and then 28 through 31, Paul gives a list of what they began to do as a result of their rejecting God. And then in verse 32, Paul concludes chapter 1 by saying, and what they were doing, they were fine with, and they were encouraging other people to be a part of it. And so that is really a summary of chapter 1, verses 18 through 32. And so what we need to understand when we talk about the topic of sexuality is that from God's view is where we're coming from today. What we're doing is we are listening to God's words and what he says about homosexuality as well. Now, what I want to say to you before I read the statement that our leadership has said this is what we believe and where we stand is that all sexual activity outside of God's intended purposes is sinful. That's what the Bible tells us. So if I have a desire to cheat on my wife and I act upon it, it's sin. If I choose to look at pornography online, it's sin. If I choose to lust after a woman by undressing her with my eyes, it's sin. And so we need to understand that all sexual activity, not only just the tangible with our bodies, but also with our hearts, is sin in God's eyes. What I also want to say today is that on behalf of the elders, that we as leaders, we're accountable to God for how we lead his church. We will be held accountable for this. And so what we need to also understand is that we need to understand is that God's word is without error. Not only that, God's word is our authority. And so what we share to you today is what God has given us. Now, I want to read a statement. This is from your leadership at Hope. And hopefully it will help you understand where we stand as a church, but also how we respond to those who may choose to live a lifestyle. And again, it's not just a homosexual lifestyle, but lifestyle that rejects God. A lifestyle that rejects God. In addressing the topic of homosexuality, first we need to understand that all sin is detestable in God's eyes. All sin keeps us separated from God. And the Bible tells us in Isaiah 59, verse 2, it says, but your sin has separated you from God. And we shared that. So I'm gonna add some comments in here with the statement. Remember, understanding that all sin separates us from God. It was through Jesus Christ, by faith, if we believe that he died and he rose again for our sins, then we, if we profess that by faith, we have been released from the bondage of sin. It's Christ who lives in us now. And you may say, well, Jeff, I have a bent to do certain things. Well, we need to understand that we still live in a broken world. And because we live in a broken world, we need to understand that it is through Christ's power that helps us conquer and overcome the things that we desire that are greater than God's ways. So let me continue. Hope Community Church believes that God intended the sexual act to be an expression of love between a husband and a wife. God unites them so that they can become one person. With the act of homosexuality, the Bible tells us that it is sin. Romans 1, 26 and 27 says, because of this, God gave them over to shameful lust. Even their women exchanged natural sexual relations for unnatural ones. In the same way, the men also abandoned natural relations with women and were inflamed with lust for one another. Men committed shameful acts with other men and received in themselves the due penalty for their error. Hope Community Church believes that the act of homosexuality is sin. Just like the act of adultery is sin, just like the act of greed is sin, just like the act of cheating or the act of there is no, this is sin and this is not so bad sin. It's the act of those things when we reject God and we choose to do what we want, when we want, and how we want. There are many people who live a homosexual lifestyle, and there are many people who struggle with homosexuality, just like we live in or struggle with different sins in our own lives. As Christians, we need to know what to believe between what is right and what is wrong in God's eyes. We need to stand firm in what we believe and to live that out. Finally, as a community of faith, we are to love others as God has commanded us to in his word. So how are we to respond as followers of Christ? One, we are to show kindness and treat others with dignity and respect. Two, we are to extend the same grace to others as Christ has to us. Three, we are to live out Jesus' example as he saw the sin in others, acknowledged it was wrong, and loved them anyway. You see, in my own personal life, I do have family that are struggling with or living that lifestyle. But we need to understand clearly that we don't stand above anyone. When it comes to God and he looks at you and I, we need to look at ourselves first. And if there's any rocks we're ready to throw at others because of how they behave or how they live, we need to throw them. And that's where we are. I had to even look at my own life and say, God, where are areas in my life that are gray? God, where am I having an attitude that's wrong? Where am I desiring things that are greater than you? And so that's what we need to understand today. If you need to speak with myself or one of the elders after the service, we'd love to talk with you. But we believe that because this is something that is spoken of almost daily in our media, and maybe even amongst one another. You may have family, you may have friends who are either living with or struggling with. Listen, God loves those people. God loves us, and he loved us enough to send his only son into the world. And why did he do that? Because he said, I desire my people to love and have a deep relationship with me and to worship me. So that's where we are with that. And at the end of the day, what we need to do is understand, once again, I'll say it again, is to look at our own lives first before we ever choose to point a finger or to throw a rock. Are you with me there? Amen. Because I throw myself at the mercy of God's court. I'm no better. I am no better. I want to pray, and then we're going to continue our time. And what can we take away from what we've heard? Not just the issue that we just talked about, but how do we do this? How do we live in a world where God's message is being drowned out? God, you know this has been hard for me to share. You know that, God, you know that in my own life I have stuff that you would show me instantly if I was ready to point a finger, if I was ready to judge. But Lord, I want you to know that, God, I see as you see, that you see the person and you see their heart. And God, yet you show us that we have been created in your image. God, we see that we are to treat others with dignity and respect. God, you have created us as glorious beings. And yet, God, there are many in our own lives or even in our lives where we're distant from you because we choose to do what we want. Lord, help us in our hearts to understand these are your words. We love you, Lord. So this is your time. Let it penetrate our hearts. Let it soak in to understand what you are teaching us today. And we ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen. So what I want to do for the next few moments with you is just to talk about what it looks like to follow. What it looks like to follow, again, in a world where God's message is being drowned out. Let's take a look at Romans. We're going to go there to Romans chapter 1. We're going to look at two verses today. And what I want to do is I want to look at two phrases that are given by Paul. Because what happened here is in verses 18 to 23, Paul was stating what was happening in Rome. And he's writing to the church in Rome. And he says that at verse 24, he says, therefore. In other words, what happened was, as a result of everything that was going on from verse 18 to 23, this is what God responded to in their response to him. It says, therefore, God gave them over in the sinful desires of their heart to sexual impurity for the degrading of their bodies with one another. Now, what we need to understand is this. It says, therefore, God gave them over to the sinful desires of their heart. And so what you and I can do, if you're following along your outline, is this, is to protect our heart. We want to protect our heart. Not only did he say that in verse 24, but he also said it in verse 26. It said, and God gave them over. God was responding to their response to him But he, in verse 26, he gave them over to their shameful lust. Verse 28, he gave them over to a depraved mind. In other words, he gave them over to minds that were rotting and saying, we don't need God. And so how God responded to them was, listen, I'm going to give you what you want. And what the people wanted was freedom from God. And so with that, we need to understand, as I said a few moments ago, that it's a sin issue that we're dealing with. Because in verses 29 to 31, Nathan, if you could put those up, this is all the other sins that Paul had spoken of. It's a sin issue. Every kind of wickedness, greed, and you can see these up here, gossips, God-haters, invent ways of doing evil, disobeying their parents. They had no understanding, no love, no mercy. So it's a sin issue that we're dealing with here. And God is letting us know this, that if we want those things, if our desire, let me say this in the correct context, if our lust for, if it's sexual lust, if it's, you know what, my greater desire is to shop, if my greater desire is, listen, I know that cheating on my spouse is wrong, but cheating on my taxes is not so bad. Is my desire greater for those things than they are for Christ? And God says, listen, I want to push you in the direction that you want to go because this is what you want. But you need to understand clearly that there are consequences for when we reject God. But because God is so loving and God is so full of compassion and mercy and grace, he says, I'll be here. I'll be here. But you just need to understand that if this is the way you want to go, that's the way I'll let you go. What, for you and I, what does that mean to protect our heart? What we want to do is we want to take a step back and examine our actions, whether it's actions that are tangible or whether actions of our hearts. And so when we talk about protecting our heart, the question that we have to ask is this: what is wrecking your heart? What is wrecking your heart? What are those things that you continue to get into, whether, again, tangible or from inside, that's wrecking you? Where in your life are you seeing, yeah, you know what, I am seeing visible consequences for how I'm walking away from God? And when we protect our heart, I thought about when I worked in Georgia, I worked for a company that every year the department had to go through training. And the training was for CPR or any type of safety. So I was a department head, so I had to go. And the lady from the Red Cross would come in and show us how to do all that. And she asked, so what's the first thing you do when you assess that the person is not breathing? And one of the guys said, well, check his wallet for money, right? And he's like, no. We get and we assess the issue, and then we act accordingly. So that's what we're saying here. When you and I choose to protect our hearts, we take a step back and we examine our actions. The Bible says in Proverbs 4:23, it says, above all else, guard your heart, for everything you do flows from it. So let's choose a life of devotion and not rejection of God. Let's turn to him and allow his grace to change not only our thoughts, but the actions in the areas of our lives where we see that we continue to reject him, and we see where he has said, if that's what you want to do, you go right ahead. So the first, again, is we protect our heart. We become proactive. The second is this, is that we don't buy the lies. We don't buy the lies. Verse 25 says this, they exchanged the truth of God for a lie and worshiped and served created things rather than the Creator who is forever praised. Amen. You see, what they believed that they were doing was okay. It's not a big deal. Not only that, they believed... I already said that. They believed that what they were doing is okay. But what was happening then is, even in our own world today, in our culture, what the world has made right, God's already said it's wrong. And when you and I buy the lies, what happens is that we become a version of who we are. We don't believe that God has the power to overcome, or we don't believe that God is greater than those issues that we face. Not only that, when we buy the lies, we prevent ourselves from having a deep relationship with God. And we set ourselves up for heartache and hurt in our lives. So if we want to be people who continue to look to truth and rather than buying the lies, let's pay attention to what we're taking in. Pay attention to what we're taking in. In other words, what are the things that we may read? What are the things we may watch? What are the things that we're looking at online? How are we behaving? If there's places we say, I know that if I go there, I'm going to be tempted to X, whatever that is, then say, God, help me to choose not to go to that place. God, help me to choose to turn my eyes away when I'm looking at someone inappropriately. God, help me, and whatever that is. You know, when I think about not buying the lies, probably a couple months ago at youth, we were doing a game. And what we did was we blindfolded two students. Everything's going to be fine. Don't worry. And then what we did was we had a maze set up downstairs. And we said, you need to get through the maze. So you need to go and come back. But what we're going to do is we're going to give you a teammate to tell you how to get there and back. So before we said go, we said, now the rest of the youth are going to yell at you and try to get you off track. And so as they began, they're kind of walking like this, and they're, no, turn left, and then somebody's like, go straight, and kids are running into tables, and they had to crawl under a table. Kids are getting up too soon because they're listening to everybody else but their teammate who had the voice. You see, for you and I, the Bible tells us that if we are going to seek truth and not buy into the lies, Philippians 4, verse 8 says this, finally, brothers and sisters, whatever is true, whatever is noble, whatever is right, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is admirable, if anything is excellent or praiseworthy, think about such things. So when you and I maybe realize in our lives that we have become a version of who we are, or if we realize that, you know what, I do not have a deep relationship with God, let's learn to ask God for forgiveness for the lies that we believed. His grace is enough. Jesus dying for the sins of the world was enough. Not only that, let's look to God's word and see what it has to say about the gray areas in our lives. I just shared, there's times where I've had gray areas and I've needed God to help me. And that's when we share today, what all we've shared up to this point is God's words to us. It wasn't something Jeff is coming up with and thinking about. It was God's words to us because of what he takes seriously. So when we look at following, and when we look at protecting our hearts, and we look at not buying the lies, then really we have a choice to make. We have either a choice to decide to follow, or we have a choice to abandon what God has offered through his Son, Jesus Christ. The Bible tells us in Mark chapter 8, it says, whoever wants to be my disciple must deny themselves and take up their cross and follow me. For whoever wants to save their life will lose it. But whoever loses their life for me and for the gospel will save it. It's very clear to me that when it says, whoever wants to be my disciple, whoever wants to follow me, whoever wants to learn from me, whoever wants to have a life that's full and rich and abundant in me, you have to deny you. I have to deny me. I have to deny every desire that I have because my heart is bent to do what I want. My heart is bent to do things that break the heart of God. You see, we started today by saying what God hates. But I hope you've heard clearly today that God is serious about sin. I hope you hear today that not only God was serious about sin, but he's serious about his creation. And he desires to have a relationship with those who he's created. We've seen today that there are times in our own lives, or even with what we read about these individuals, they said, no, thank you. I want to do things my way. Thank you very much. But our scriptures are very clear that you and I must deny ourselves. We must take up our cross. In other words, we must take up, God, what have you purposed me for in this world? And I will take that, and I will do that for your greatness and for your glory. Because, God, I see that you are enough. And God, I realize that if I try to marry what I want to do with what you have for me, it will not work. So you and I have to come to a place of surrender. We have to come to a place where we say, I will lose my life for the sake of the good news. And whatever that looks like for you. For me, it was working a great job. Tina was working a great job. We had a house, two cars, life was good. And then God said, it's time to give up what is so dear to you, and I want you to go work with teenagers. It's like, what? They're the ones I yell at in the movie theater, right? But that's what he did. And since that point, I've realized I gotta forget me and look to him. And I hope you hear clearly today that God loves people. And you and I, as Christ followers, if we understand that the world we live in, God created those people who may annoy us. God created those people who do things that we say wrong. Or God created the same people who may not agree with what you believe with. We treat them with dignity, and we treat them with respect. The person in my life who has lived a gay lifestyle said to my wife and I can talk to you and have a decent conversation because you respect me. Today was not about one issue. Today was about our hearts and what God screams out to us. He says, I have so much to give you and to show you. The question that I have for us this morning is this: is following Jesus greater than your desire? Greater than your desire to whatever that may be? You may say, Jeff, well, I don't do those crazy things you're talking about. But maybe this week you've gotten angry with someone. Maybe you said they don't deserve forgiveness. Maybe this week you said, you know what, man, why do I feel like I'm not succeeding? And God says, it's for my greatness. That's what it's about. Maybe in your heart you're saying, listen, what if I do just a little bit of this? It's no big. God loves me. But he loves you so much that he's serious when we say, no, thank you. We've been asked as a community of faith to stand on God's word. That's what we've been asked to do. You know, if you're familiar with Twitter, you have people who follow you. Now, I have a whopping 9 followers, and one of them is in this room, so thank you very much, Denny. And when I thought about following, what happens is if you have the at symbol in front of your username, that means you can allow others to see and others can correspond and reply to you. And I thought about, wow, if I was to put like at following Jesus, I wonder if anybody would respond. Would I even respond to those things that I want to give in to so much quicker than I want to give in to walking with the one who gave it all? You see, yesterday was a beautiful picture in what Christ had called us to do. To the least of these. That's Christian-like. And guess what? We didn't go in there and say, you messed up your life. You're lucky we're here today. No, we said, listen, we're on the same playing field. When we go down to the high school pancake breakfast, we don't go and stick out our chest and say, well, we're here. Got a lot of money. Yep. No, we don't. We say, thank you for letting us come here and support what you're doing. Because we realize that there's a God of grace, a God of compassion, and a God of mercy. But yet there's also a God who's serious about his people and serious about sin. The other question I want to ask us this morning is that if you were to be approached or friend requested, maybe, at Follow Jesus, would you respond? Realizing that, wow, God did an amazing thing through His Son. Sure, we live around brokenness, everybody. Let's just be real. Our world's broken. It is. But here's the beautiful thing. I want to be someone that if I had followed Jesus at the end of my life and God says, you've done good, boy. I know that, listen, what we talked about today was not a political statement. It was not opinion. It was not a feeling. Jeff, you stood on my words. You chose my way over your desire. And I don't know where we go from here. We made a stand. And I hope that you'll follow Jesus. I hope your desires are not as great. So let's you and I begin to be people who are proactive. Let's begin to be people with our hearts and with our lives to say, God, what is it that you want from me in this world? Not only that, let's begin to live with the understanding that it's all because of Jesus that we're alive. And He's made it possible for us to live in His world. For some of you, this may have been hard today. Not just by the statement that our church has made, but maybe you've realized there's things. Wow. God was screaming at me today. I want to pray for us as a church. Because we want to be that community of faith who follows Jesus. We want to respond with love and kindness to all those who we come in contact with. Once we're done praying, I'm going to ask that the ushers come forward and then we're going to take our benevolence. And then what we want to do, as I said at the beginning, is celebrate how great God is and what He's overcome for you and I. Father, again, we come to you humbly. God, I know in my own life that I would be a wreck without you. What I also know, God, is that there are times in my own life when I wreck my own heart because I say, God, I got this one. God, your words have been spoken today. God, I pray that we would permit you to wrestle with our hearts. I pray, God, that we would permit you to really look at the things that we feel are greater than you. I pray that you would show us how beautiful, how full, how wonderful it is to have a deep and intimate relationship with you. We need you. We need your help in whatever things that have separated us in the moments that we say, it's all about me. Thank you that you have overcome the power of the cross. We thank you that you have overcome the power of the grave. You are a great God. Let us be serious about the things you're serious about, Lord. God, I thank you, too, that you have given us the opportunity to help others who may be in need. God, may we give out of hearts that are just so in love with you. and that those monies can be used, whether it's painting a simple basement at a single mom's home, to helping those who are even in more dire need than that. So this is your time, God. Work in us for your great name, for your renown. And all God's people said, amen.